Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Christ, who made it all possible. And so we begin our fellowship tonight, teachings. There are really kind of two topics, and I'll handle them most separately. But first one will be Yahweh's prophets are flawed, or Yahweh's anointed ones, kings or anybody else. And so we got prophets and priests and deacons, apostles, teachers, pastors are flawed. We just got to remember that. We're going to see that. So what, otherwise you become these followers of men, and what can happen is when they go down, you're going to go down with them. And the other section, other teaching will be Yahweh and names. Names are very important to Yahweh. Who Yahweh gives a name, I do not change that name, ever. You know, and we're going to see that too. But we have blind followers, and this is just a natural thing is, you know, you've got Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Oral Roberts, Smith Wigglesworth, Wesley, Luther, Calvin. These are all men who had ministries. They're all flawed. And so if you follow them tooth and nail, you are not a disciple of Adon Mashiach, Yahushua. You're a disciple of them. I'm Apollos. And so you don't want to be disciples of men. And majority, or I would say a majority, a great percentage are. And that's why you go to a Calvin church. That's, you know, a Presbyterian. That's why you go to a Lutheran church. So you got blind leaders and blinded. You know, so these people can do good things. And as we're going to see in here, King Solomon, and we see a lot of kings, a lot of anointed people. Solomon was a prophet. He was anointed by Yahweh. He had power. He was Yahweh visiting twice. Did he finish good? No, he didn't finish good at all. If people are following Solomon because he's the seed of David and Solomon Yahweh loves, then you're going to go down with Solomon, because what we're supposed to follow is this book, the words of Yahweh. And when they deviate, we need to knock on their door, which we're going to see. We're going to knock on their door and say, you're deviating from Yahweh's work. One illustration on people that you're following, potentially, is what Bible translation are they reading from? And this says volumes. In our day and time, now maybe somebody in Nigeria or Kenya, and you're very limited on what you can purchase, then that's another thing. Or the translations, maybe in Espanol, are very limited. But you can still find the best one. But the majority of these people, it's the old King James, and I was raised in a ministry, and it's still today. And this is 50 years later, and they read out of the old King James, which is thousands and thousands of errors. Goes without saying. The NIV, bad. The New Living Translation, dangerous. If any of these, if people can't get into the Rotherham Bible or the Young's, you know, got to be the Young's, you know, which are difficult to get, the Rotherham Bible, which is freely to get, it's completely available. Or the ASB, at least go with the NASB. You know, real simple. This is a literal translation. Hell, the word hell is not in the Old Covenant, period. And good to say, neither is the NIV or the New Living Translation. Now, it's all over the King James. You know, so it was never in the Young's, which was done in 1880, and it was never in the Rotherham either. So you got a whole doctrine in Christology that is false. And it's even in your books. But we're going to look at an example of King Solomon, anointed leader, and if you follow a leader, you're going to fall when they fall. So, let's begin in 2 Samuel 12. Well, 24 through 25. This is always something to learn from. Yahweh anoints Solomon. Now, who's he the child of?
Bathsheba and David.
And who is Bathsheba and David? murderers. You know, they murdered Uriah, or at least David did.
Well,
and an adulteress. You know, I thought, boy, isn't that an interesting way to come up with an heir? I mean, so it must teach forgiveness in the greatest capacity. So you always scratch your head and say, wow, from Bathsheba and, you know, and David, but that's the way it is. But look what happened, because her child died, as we know, in 2 Samuel 12:24-25. And David consulted Bathsheba, his wife. Bath is a woman. I think Ben is male. Bath is female. Or son of, daughter of, yes, his daughter. Daughter of Sheba,
okay,
his wife. And went in unto her and laid with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And what? Says the rest?
Yahweh loved him.
And Yahweh loved him. Wow, look at this. Not only that, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet and called his name, it's with a Y, obviously it is Yediah, which means, if you see, beloved of Yah. And if you see the footnote at the D at the bottom, you'll see it in, with the Y. There's no J in Hebrew. Yediah, so Yahweh called him beloved of Yah. He hasn't even spoken a word yet.
Yeah.
And Yahweh's done this for Yahweh's sake. So that's his beginning of Solomon, which obviously is embracing Bathsheba and David. And so leaders, what we're going to find out later on, everybody's flawed. And when a leader, anointed leader, is doing something wrong, they're going to send people to give them a call, a knock on their door from prophets and other people to say, this isn't right. They have two ways to receive that. And they can either receive it or reject it. And if they reject it, Yahweh will do it a couple of times. And as we saw with David, Nathan came knocking at his door. And let's look at 7:12-7. Then said Nathan unto David, Yahweh sent a prophet, thou art the man. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do from a leader is verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Uriah. No. I have sinned against Yahweh. That's what they need to do. And we should all do this. When you see a person, and no matter who they are, teacher, when they are wrong, you need to correct them in love. And that is Matthew 18. It says, if you see somebody in wrong, you approach him. And if he doesn't listen to you, you bring three other people and try to talk to him, or in a sin. And if he doesn't listen to that, then you bring him before the whole church. And if he doesn't listen to that, you're gone. They're gone. You don't embrace him. You don't hang around with him. They are expelled. David took the reproof. And that's why Yahweh could give him Solomon. Yeah, huge on that. And it said Yahweh loved him. Now we go to 1 Kings 3. Carry on. Now most people, I can't do that. You know, I write letters. And if you're going to correct somebody, put it in, make sure you got the documentation. Put it in writing, let somebody else proofread it, see if it's in love, see if it's correct, and then mail it to them. And put your name on there so they know where it came from, because you care about them. And then it's, you've done your job. You know, that's it. You've done your job. You've corrected them. Because Yahweh's going to knock at your door. When you saw that error, did you do anything about, well, he's not going to like me if I end up pointing that out, or she's not going to like me. And I like this church so much. And so then we become like Eli, which we're going to find out about, that he really loved his sons more than Yahweh. So you've got to take a stand. We all have to take a stand. And if they want to expel me from the church, and we've had that plenty of time, people don't like reproof. None of us like reproof. But you must take it if it's true. And it's how it's presented, so a letter is very good because it's not a face-to-face encounter. And they can think about it, sleep on it. And with all of this, if somebody, you know, send me letters. and sleep on it. If it's true, thank you. If it's not true, it doesn't matter. No, it's not true. Somebody says you're a fat pig. Well, it's not true. You just throw it away. No problem. You know? And if somebody says this is what your word says, and you say, no, you're really wrong on that way. You know, and so now we go to 1 Kings 3, 3 and 5. And this is Solomon. So Solomon loved Yahweh. Now think of that. Solomon loved Yahweh. Look at that. I mean, just wonderful. He's a king now.
Yahweh's the one who wrote this.
Yeah, by walking in. But how did he love Yahweh? How do you love Yahweh? By walking in the statutes of David his father, save only that in the high places he himself was sacrificing and offering incense. So then the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 ascending sacrifices did Solomon offer up on that altar. This is his heart. Then Yahweh approaches him. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and Elohim said, ask what I will give thee. And we know the rest of that. But remember, Yahweh named Solomon, which means peaceful. Peace. Shalom is the same situation, similar to Solomon. Now we go to 8:22, the 1 Kings. And Solomon stood, now he built the temple. So we know Solomon was faithful for at least 20 years. He reigned for 40. And so it mentions 20 years after the temple is built, his house is built, and then it's 20 years later. And Solomon, after this is the temple, and Solomon stood before the altar of Yahweh in the presence of all the convocation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards the heavens and said, O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. And he does his whole prayer, which is magnificent. And we go to chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass when Solomon had made an end of building the house of Yahweh and the house of the king, and everything that Solomon desired, which he was pleased to make, then appeared Yahweh unto Solomon a second time. So we thank God, if I got a picture of Jesus, if he came and talked to me. Now, here's just an example. Kenneth Hagin is recorded as saying, Jesus Christ has appeared to him for 30 minutes at a time and talked to him and everything else. If that was be true, now he might have had a dream or a vision of some kind, but it wasn't Christ, because of what he ended up teaching and continually taught was not what the word of Yahweh says. All right, so people became his followers. So people can have these encounters, and then that really exalts them. Because I had an encounter, and we just talked to, we just had a teaching from a Muslim, and it seemed like Jesus is appearing to all these Muslims, and that's supposed to give them validation, and that's what they're getting, validation. Wait a minute here. How many pastors has it never happened? It's never happened to me. It's never happened to any of our family members. And people say, well, I'm left out. I work harder than this guy. And why do you appear to him and not me? So be very careful on any kind of visitation and people going to heaven and coming back on death experiences. You see this all the time. This is all contrary to the word of Yahweh. So just don't go with it. But with Solomon, it was. Visiting twice. And you'll have the rest of the kings never mention that ever. So Yahweh never visited them. The prophets came and spoke to them. But there's no... Yahweh never appeared to David.
And Samuel.
Samuel, but they came and spoke to the prophets. And so just think of that. So this is very, very unusual. Let's see here. That was 9, 1 through 9. Okay, we're going to read. And Yahweh, verse 3, and Yahweh said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication, which thou hast made supplication before me. I have hallowed this house, which thou hast built to put my name there, into age abiding, and my eyes and my heart shall be there continually. But in verse 6, if you turn back, you and your sons shall follow me, and keep not my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you, but depart and serve other gods and bow yourself down to them, then will I cut off Israel from the face of the soil, which has happened repeatedly. You know, when you reject Yahweh, I don't care who you are. What happened to two of Aaron's sons? This is Aaron, the high priest. What happened to two of his sons? Smoked in Leviticus. And because they defied Yahweh. So I don't care. Names don't impress me. Lineage does not impress Yahweh. Gifting does not impress Yahweh. And actually, I want more out of you. Let's go to 11. Now we're going to see, this is Solomon. What a heart. Same, second, or 1 Kings 11.
Chapter 11. Okay.
Verse 1 and 2. And we saw, this is Solomon. But King Solomon, you never want to have our history have a but in it.
A what?
A but, B-U-T. Aaron is so good. Wendy is so good. But?
Yeah.
But. Yeah, and here it is. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, out of the nation's concern. Yahweh has said unto the sons of Israel, you shall not go into unto them. And actually, Rehoboam, his son, mother is an Ammonite. So here's the successor king of Solomon, Rehoboam, and his mother is an Ammonite. So you got a half breed in Rehoboam, and his mother is in there instrumenting, you know, with other gods and everything else. And so we saw that. Now let's go to 7, verse 7. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abominations of the sons of Ammon, and thus did he do it for all his foreign wives who burn incense and offer sacrifice unto their gods. Therefore did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, the prophet. You know, the person who wrote books and the books here is cut off. Wow. Who had appeared unto him twice and had been giving command to him. Who did he give command by? The prophets, saying the prophets to him. And to him concerning this thing, that he should not go away after other gods, but, here we go again, he had not taken heed unto that which Yahweh had commanded. Wherefore, Yahweh said unto Solomon, and he, obviously, you're cut off. And we're going to see the difference here. He did not end well. Began great. And all the amenities of everything. Had more wisdom than anybody else. Could name, and just by looking here, the trees and the animals and the poetry and the psalms and the proverbs and a Song of Songs and all these other things. And all of a sudden, how'd you end? You might not be on the new earth. It's probably very unlikely. You're not going to be there. But who's going to be there? Probably Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
What the heck's this? Look, let's go to Daniel 4.
Thief on the cross. No,
Daniel? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. It's not what you do so much as how did you end? Are you faithful? And we've had people like that. We know personally a person who was a pastor for 20 years and turned to the lust of the flesh and ended up getting divorced, committing adultery, fornicating, drugs, alcohol, everything. Just and died as a pauper is what it comes down to. So that's reality. 4:28, chapter 4, verse 28. And all this came upon Nebuchadnezzar the king. So Daniel talked to him. And so he had a king. And Daniel said, you better cool it. All right? And remember, Yahweh called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. So when he had him raid, when he had him overthrow Jerusalem, the evil place was not Babylon, it was Jerusalem. So think of that.
Yeah.
Yahweh says Jerusalem was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how bad it was. And so he had Nebuchadnezzar come in and clean house. And so the righteous people was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in Babylon. You got Nehemiah in Persia. You got Mordecai in Persia. You got Esther in Persia. You know, so you have all these prophets that are about us who are delivered from the wicked Jerusalem. And Yahweh told Solomon, if you go against this, I will destroy this place, which he did.
What chapter did you think?
Daniel chapter 4. 28. We're at the end. Daniel warns him, Nebuchadnezzar. And this came upon Nebuchadnezzar the king, and at the end of 12 months over the palaces of the king of Babylon was he walking. The king spake and said, is not this Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a home of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the dignity of my majesty? Wrong words. While yet the word was in the mouth of the king, a voice came out of the heavens, fell upon thee, and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the kingdom hath departed from thee, and from among men that are going to drive thee forth, and with the wild beasts of the field shall thou be thy dwelling. Grass like oxen shall I suffer thee to eat, and seven seasons shall pass over thee, until thou come to know that the Most High hath dominion over the kingdom of men, and to whomsoever he pleases he giveth it. Wow, this is reproof. Better than being killed like Aharon's sons were.
Yeah,
that was it. Sodom and Gomorrah just wiped out. But watch at the end, chapter 3, verse 4. I mean, wait a minute here. Oh, 34, verse 34. Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
At the end of the days?
This is in 37. And he gets delivered. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, am praising, exalting, and honoring the King of the heavens, all whose works are true and his ways right, and them who walk in pride he is able to abase. Did he end well?
Yes.
Now, these are his last words. Yeah, it should be Solomon.
Yeah.
So Nebuchadnezzar's right now in the new earth, and probably King Solomon's not going to be, who Yahweh appeared to him twice. And probably the sons of Aharon might not be there either.
Oh, that doesn't sound like it.
And we're going to look at another person called Eli in the book of Judges, 1 Samuel. He was a judge of Israel. So 1 Samuel 2, he was anointed. He was a judge of Israel. And served for 40 years, I believe.
Yep.
Didn't end well. 1 Samuel 2, 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said to him, thus saith Yahweh, I did indeed reveal myself unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in the service of the house of Pharaoh. And it goes on and on. So this is warning. Yahweh always gives us warnings. Let's see here.
It's the end of 29. Honor thy sons.
Yeah. Okay, 29. Wherefore have you been kicking at my sacrifice and my presence, which I commanded to serve for a home, and shouldest have honored thy sons more than me? Do you honor your husband more than Yahweh? How about your children more than Yahweh? How about your parents more than Yahweh? How about your wife more than Yahweh? How about your friends more than Yahweh? Then you're an Eli. You're an Eli. So Yahweh is it, and the rest, all secondary. He's going to warn him again. Let's see here. Chapter 3, verse 11. And it's done by Samuel. 11 through 13. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, lo, I'm doing a thing in Israel, in which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day will I confirm against Eli all that are spoken against his house, beginning and finish. Why didn't Eli turn? Why don't you just say to my sons, I kick them out, you're expelled from this kingdom? Real simple, just get rid of your sons. Well, you know, they're my only two sons. You know, whatever reason, we see this all the time. Wherefore, I tell him that I am about to judge his house unto time's age of body for the iniquity which he knoweth, and that his sons are cursing God, and he hath not rebuked them. Wow. Keeping silent? Wow. And we saw that Eli, and he ends up dying. Now, David, which we already did, these are two calls given to Eli by Yahweh. I said a prophet, but Samuel, which is a prophet. He hung up. He didn't take the call. David took the call and said, I have sinned. I have sinned. That's what we all got to do. Is I have sinned. If it's the truth, that's it. God, defy Yahweh. And so, Jeroboam, how do you handle reproof? How do you handle correction? If do you invite it? Do you ask for it? I do. Ask for it. And if you're not asking for it, then what are you afraid of? I mean, you don't want to get better. You don't want to be corrected. So here's Jeroboam. When a prophet came up to him and said, you're in deep trouble. What happened to the Jeroboam's arm? It froze. Remember the prophet at the altar? He wants to kill the prophet. Let's kill the messenger. You know, Ahab wanted to kill Elijah. You know, Solomon went after Jeroboam. Zedekiah, and then went after Jeremiah. So all the kings went against Jeremiah because he's speaking the truth. And in Ezekiel 18:26, we'll go there.
I'm in the middle of Jeremiah. I'll tell you that.
But we're Israel. We're God's people. No, you're not. You're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Ezekiel 1.
And that's today the Catholic Church, now is blessed sodomy. The Pope is just officially blessed sodomy. You got the United Methodist Church, which is blessed sodomy. You got to cut that. You're just done with that. That's all there is to it. And we're going to see that. Is your pastor embarrassed of the name Yahweh? Will he even say the word Yahweh? Will he speak of truth? What kind of person is this? What kind of pastor is this? That's not a leader. Like we said here, that's a hireling. He's doing what the sheep want him to do. Now, 18, we're going to see, it's not what you've done, it's how you finish. 18, verse 26. When a righteous man, this is Solomon, shall turn away from his righteousness and do that which is perverse, and die because of those things, and his own perversity which he had done, shall he die. In 27, and when a lawless man turns away from his lawlessness which he had done, Nebuchadnezzar, and hath done justice and righteousness, he shall save his own soul alive. When he considered then, he turned away from all his transgression which he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. These are the rules. Judas was an apostle, turned and sent. Peter was deceived, and where Paul had to reprove in the Galatians. Now, so the lesson is, ask for correction. Yahweh, send people to me if people won't talk to me. I don't want to meet you in person with Christ and say, why didn't you listen to me? I listen to you. I honor you. No, you don't. I sent this person and this person and this person to you, and what'd you do? You kicked them out. You expelled them from your circle. That was me. You expelled me from your circle because you didn't like what I was telling them to tell you. Oh, that was you? Yes. So now we get into names. And names, Yahweh, is very, very important. And really what this comes down to, we have a friend that says, well, it's not important to say Yahweh. Why do you always say Yahweh? Why don't we just go with the Lord and God and all this stuff? And I thought, isn't this interesting? Yahweh told Zacharias and Elizabeth, her son was going to be called what?
Yohanan.
Yohanan, not John. And this is a good way to show this. John, J-O, changes to Y-O, which is Yah. Hannah, H-A-N, is Hannah is H-A-N-A. Hannah is favor. Yah is favor. That's the name. When could Zachariah speak?
When he agreed with the name.
When he agreed with the name that Yahweh told him. That's how important that name was. We're not going to call him Yohanan because nobody in your family is called Yohanan, right? And he says, it's Yohanan. And boom, he spoke. How important is names? So we don't even have to go there, but Yahweh named Ishmael. And that's Genesis 16, verse 11 and 15. Yahweh named Isaac, Genesis, and that means laughter. Genesis 17 to 18. And people will say, oh, they meant it in a good way. And you're like, no, they didn't. They couldn't believe the promise that you're going to have a child. Abraham.
You digressed. Okay.
Well, and people, I hear people saying that. Well, they laugh because they're so joyful. No, they don't look at the context. Somebody says you're going to have a child. They go, oh yeah, that's Sarah. Like, yeah, that's going to happen. You know, we haven't had sex for 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. I don't have my periods anymore. There's no way. So she laughed, and people said, oh, that was a good laugh. No, it wasn't. She didn't believe at that time. But after he was born, they laughed with joy. Now they changed it. But that's Isaac. Yahweh named Isaac. Yahweh's named Solomon. 1 Chronicles 22, 9 through 10. That's what he says, I named him Solomon. Yohanan, that is John. Yahweh said, you're going to call him this.
How come it's Yo, not Yah?
Well, but that's another word for how they do it. Same way with Jonah, it's Yonah.
And Yachanan.
Yeah, and anytime you say a J-O, it's really Y-O, which is standing for Yah.
Yeah, but Yahweh is Y-A.
Yeah, but this is how you say it, but it's still there. Just believe me, look at the Hebrew. Now we go into Matthew 1:21. Who named our Savior?
Angel.
Yahweh did. Now, did he give him the name Jesus? No. Did he give him the name Jesus? No. Did he give him the name Jesus? No. What was his name?
Matthew what?
Yeah, Matthew 1:21.
Okay.
Well, that's like Peter's name being changed too.
Well, yeah, he was Simeon. He wasn't Simon. So Simeon is the Hebrew name. But that was through, well, I don't quite understand that. But that was through Yahushua. But in 21, we'll see that in Luke 2. Moreover, shall she bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahushua. Moses changed the name of Hosea, which we call Joshua. His name was Hosea, or Hosea, to Yahushua. And that was Numbers 13:16. And that means Yah is salvation. Yah is salvation. Yahweh named his son Yahushua. He didn't name him Jesus. He didn't name him Jesus. He didn't name him Jesus. He named, or I think in Kenya is H-Y-E-H-U. Yehu. I think David said what do they call it? The language they speak.
Swahili.
Key Swahili. He named him Yahushua. Are you going to disagree with Yahweh? Are you going to say, we're going to change that. We're going to take Yah out of it. So now people will say Yahshua, and it's not Yahshua. Yahshua is the word for salvation. It's a common noun. Its name is Yahushua. Yahshua removes the name Yahweh from it. So you even see this demonic kind of inclusion to say, we're going to get close to Yahshua. And no. Right? And that should be good enough. No. Because you've removed the word Yah. Yahweh likes his name. And guess who named Yahweh?
He did.
Yahweh named himself. How many times did he name himself?
6,831
times. Or 21 times. Then you ask, does your preacher, does Kenneth Hagin say Yahweh? Does Kenneth Copeland say Yahweh? Does Andrew Womack say Yahweh? Do they say Yahushua? Is there any kind of stuff here? Now, we've got Jesus on our shirts many times because people have no idea who Yahushua is. We're going to say Yahushua, and we're going to slowly teach people Jesus, Yahushua. That's who it is. It's not the Lord, it's Yahweh. So we can see we got a situation to do that. But names to Yahweh, you don't want to be meeting Yahushua. Say, hi, Jesus. It's Yahushua. How do you like that? Oh, that's really important to me. Oh, for 70 years of my life, I haven't taken that serious. Wow. So we'll end up there. Get to hear from our Heavenly Father. A word of prophecy. At each time of each day, meditate upon my instructions that I put inside you. I live with inside you. Never take that for granted. You must tune in and tune out the world and tune in to my will through my word first and foremost. And realize that I speak through my word, but also I will speak into your heart. I will communicate into your heart your direction that I want you to exercise in, because each of you in the body is put there by me, and I want you to achieve fruit and bear much fruit for my glory and for my son's glory. All right, see you next week.